Brothers and sisters in Christ, my name is Joseph. My wife is Edda. I am a veteran missionary, over 30 years on the mission field in Brazil, and you don't need to applaud because I am still learning so much. You'd think that somebody who has been on the mission field so long would know it all, but God has showed me differently. And one of the things that I want to talk to you today is about listening to Him, no matter where you are, if you're young, if you're a grandfather or grandmother, or wherever you are in life, we all need to listen to God. Forest Mill, the church here, has been supporting my family with $300 a month for 9 years. I believe this month. 9 years. That's almost a third of the time I've been on the field. So we are very grateful for you being with us. And the work in Brazil has always been a challenge, as it is everywhere, here, there, wherever you are in the world. We are in a spiritual warfare. And the last time that I was here, I spoke to the elders about a need to have a sabbatical. And a sabbatical is a time where you just sort of get away from the work and you reflect and you evaluate and you're asking God, hey, God, am I doing things right? Do I need to do something differently? And we have been on a sabbatical since the end of last year here in the States. And I would like to share some of the things that God has shared with me. One of the things that was really hard for us is to come and live here for a few months. We've never, during all these years, you know, my wife and I, we've never been more than 2 months visiting around churches and talking to churches. And so this has been a different experience, some ups, some downs. We've connected with the kids. We've helped out my parents who are getting up there. And I ended up going to Africa, which I never expected that. I mean, you know, when you go on a sabbatical, I never expected to go on a mission trip to Africa. But one of the things that, going back a little bit, one of the things that the pandemic did, I know that everybody has negative feelings and negative things about the pandemic. It really helped us in some ways. God used the pandemic to, I think, two things. First of all, it showed us that my Brazilian wife needs American documentation because she coming in on a tourist visa every time to the States, all of a sudden, she was denied coming to the States during that period. And our kids are grown up. Our kids are here in the States, and we're about to have a grandchild at the end of the year. My wife needs access to the United States big time, or we're going to have some major marital problems. And so we have, during this period, we have gotten her a green card, we've gotten her a social security number, a Tennessee driver's license, and she's even practiced on the interstate, and so, you know, she's ready to roll. But on a green card, you have to be living in the States, and so we're working on we're working on her citizenship. She's already immigrated. We're working on citizenship. Another thing that the pandemic helped us was our church that we work with in João Pessoa that we started, you know, a little over 20 years ago. I believe that it has a mission-mindedness about it, because every time that we train leaders, I mean, they're all already thinking about going off and starting another church. And that makes it hard for us as missionaries to leave where we are because, you know, they're going out and, you know, we have people who have converted in João Pessoa in capital cities of Brazil preaching the gospel. And you know, as soon as they feel like, you know, they have some capability, they're ready to go and start a new church. With the pandemic, There was one congregation in João Pessoa that lost its church building because it was rented and couldn't use it. And so they just gave it up. And they went online, and we and the central church invited this congregation to start meeting with us. Where we had a church building, and they were able to meet. And that has provided leadership, excitement, energy, the joining of two people, you know, two groups of people who are working separately in different parts of the city, and now they're working together, and that allowed for us to say, okay, we're going to take a while away, and I am so happy to say that during this period, these brethren have taken up the torch and have gone and have continued the work. And João Pessoa, and have allowed us to start dreaming of what we could possibly do in the future. And as a missionary, it is my wish, Lord wills, to go to another city and start from scratch, a city that doesn't have a church, and completely, you know, just plant another church. But I would like it to be a little bit different. And so during this period that we have been in the States, I was walking in the forest with God, and I was talking to Jesus, and I was talking to my wife, and we're having, you know, these moments that sound great, and then we have some depressing moments, like, what are we doing here? You know, we're out of our element, and it's just, you know, up and down, and sabbatical is sometimes hard. It's not just rest. It's a lot of struggling. And the passage I would like to share with you is something that I want to encourage you to pray to God, to think of in your own life. This is something that I think that God has, you know, I was praying and God has helped me to understand some things. He's still helping me get past some barriers. This is Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, if you want to look in your Bible with me. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. The psalmist says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." For us to listen to God, it is important to wait on God. We don't like to wait. No, we like to hit the ground running. We like to be doing things. We like to be always in movement and always, you know, getting information and working and doing things. But there's such an important part of following Christ is when we wait to listen to Jesus. And one of the things, I mean, several of the things that I've been thinking about is, you know, all my life I have this American mindset. You know, I have to be doing things. I have to be doing things. I have to be doing things for Jesus. And I went down to Brazil, and we have to do this, and we have to do that, and, you know. And this period has taught me is, you know, there is very little effectiveness in doing if you're not being with Jesus. Everything that we do needs to grow out of being with Jesus. I think you had a quote in your class. It was just perfect, you know. It says, you know, doing, you know, working for Jesus can do more harm if you're not communing with Jesus. And so, I have done the work, and I have walked the walk, and I have said, come, Jesus, come walk with me. And during this period, I have been praying, Lord, let me walk with you. It's a, just a little subtle difference, you know. Hey, I'm doing this. You know, come bless it, Lord. You know, come bless what I'm doing for you, God. And now I'm praying, Lord, let me participate in what you are doing. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And, you know, and when I read this, you know, I think, well, you know, we have the truth. We have the Bible. You know, we have it all, and we are... we've arrived. That's a lot of times our attitude in the church, in the brotherhood. You know, I don't need to learn anything else. We know that's not true, but that's sometimes the way we feel because we have it all. And in reality, the way, the truth is learning to take what we have and put it in our day-to-day living. Put it in our day-to-day lives, our attitudes, the way we deal with people, the way we love people, letting Jesus be the light that shines through us into this dark world and not let this dark world get us down and not even fear the violence and not even fear the evil because, you know, we have, you know, we are walking with the one who owns it all. And so, let me tell you, here I was, we got here to the States, and we're reconnecting with our kids and our family, and I'm praying, Lord, you know, give me vision. You know, open up my eyes. What is it that you want me and Ada to be doing for the rest of our working lives? And God sort of talked to us in an indirect way, and I just want to share it with you because we know that God talks to us through the Word, but He also talks to us through people and through experiences. And it was around Thanksgiving that we had we went to a Thanksgiving meal with a family, and out of the blue, had no idea that this person was going to show up, came a ex-missionary to Brazil that I knew 35 years before. And this sex missionary, you know, we caught up. We hadn't seen each other in all those years and hadn't known about what was happening in each other's lives. And it was just like seeing a long-lost friend. And at the end of the visit, he said, hey, I'm going to Africa. You should probably go with me. It's a vision trip. And so we get in the car afterwards, and my wife says, well, are you going to go? I said, Africa? I'm here on a sabbatical. I'm not going to Africa. What would I do in Africa? I mean, why would I take a trip to Africa? And then the idea, it's a vision trip. And here I have been praying to God, Lord, let me see what you see. And all of a sudden, you know, God puts this man I haven't seen in 35 years, and he says, hey, I'm going on a vision trip. You should go too. And, you know, it wasn't even an official invitation because, you know, in his mind, you know, it's actually too late to be inviting people because when I called him up a little while later, he says, well, you know, it might be hard, but, hey, you might just have it. You have to have a passport. Yeah, got that. And, you know, everybody that goes has to have, like, a yellow fever vaccination. And I said, whoa, what do you know? I had one in 2019. And, you know, he talked about some other things that were needed. And I sent off for the visas, got the visas back in time, and then was on my way to Africa, Sierra Leone. The thing that really closed the moment of God talking to me that I should do this was when my youngest son is in AIM, Adventures in Missions. And after I decided, yeah, I think I'll go to Sierra Leone and see what God is trying to tell me. My son, his field in AIM was announced, and he's going to on a team, three boys, to Liberia, West Africa. And I looked on the map, it's right next door to Sierra Leone. And so I bought tickets to Sierra Leone, and then after the group that was traveling with me went away, I jumped on a plane, and 30 minutes later was in Liberia meeting the church that he'll be working with, meeting the coordinator that will be instructing him and directing him and taking care of him, and it was a blessed time. So you're asking for God to teach you. You're asking for God to guide you. My problem, it might be your problem, is that we don't turn the TV off enough, or we're all the time going, we're all the time doing things, and we just don't stop and listen. And this period has been a time in which I have stopped to listen. God, what is it that you want from my life? And God has a will. He wants to use every single person here. You love God with all your heart, and He wants to use you for the growth of His kingdom. And everything that you do can be used by God for this. And so, how can you know what to do, how to do it? You know, just ask Him, stop, listen, reflect, and then put Jesus in first place in everything that you say and do. In Sierra Leone, we met with several people who are part of the disciple-making movement. The idea here is simplifying the evangelism process so much that anybody can do it. They use a discovery Bible study, which is just a basic study in which you ask the questions, the same questions, and you're discovering what God is saying. And the first day that I was there in Sierra Leone, I got there a day before the group, and so I went with one of the preachers and said, we're going to have some baptisms. And so we went to the beach, and about seven, or it was nine. It was nine young men, a couple of them were ladies. They wanted to be baptized. And the first thing that he did was, okay, I'm going to teach you how to baptize. And there on the sand, you know, he said the words, he, you know, pretended to lay down the person and in the water, and he says, okay, now I don't want to be doing any more baptism. When you share Jesus Christ with someone, you come and you baptize them here on this beach. Because of this reproducible ideal of evangelism, of missions, they are growing like crazy for the glory of God. One of the things that I really was impressed about the brethren in Sierra Leone is their total dependence on prayer. Every Wednesday they're praying and fasting. It's just the whole church praying and fasting. Before they start off in a new work in an unchurched tribe or city or village or location, they do like 21 days of prayer and fasting, asking for God to provide a person of peace. Just like Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, he said, you know, if you find the person of peace that welcomes you in their house, then you just stay there. And they pray for this person of peace, and they, when they convert someone, It's different from what a lot of times what we've done in the past. They leave that person within their family, within their community, within their village. They don't pull that person out and say, okay, now you have a new community, the church. They do have a new family, the church. But they say, but you are the missionary in this village, this family. And you start doing this discovery Bible study. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you've been to seminary or you've been to, if you're a mission, you know, you've been to a mission school or whatever. You have Christ and you can share this. And so what has happened is the country is filled with some large churches, but tons and tons of little rabbit churches. You know, an elephant church is one that's big and it's harder to reproduce because it's so big and it's not as quick and agile. Whereas rabbit churches, they're spreading, they're very prolific and they spread throughout the community. God has put the desire on my heart to go to Brazil and try to implement some of these New Testament methods of evangelism in Western society. It might work a little differently because Eastern cultures are really based on tribes and communities. Western is more individualized, but that's the vision that God, during this period, has been placing on my heart. And so, Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Working for Jesus, all of us need to do, but it has to start off with listening to Jesus, communing with Jesus, being with Jesus, letting Him be completely a part of our lives, letting His fullness fill our hearts, in so that anything that we say, anything that we do, is not us saying and doing, but it's the Lord Jesus, our King, our Savior, our friend, the one who's put His Spirit within us. It's the Holy Spirit talking to people. And this requires waiting sometimes for us to be able to hear. You know, in the lesson in the Sunday school, one of the questions was, why did Jesus wait, was it 38 years, to cure that paralytic at the well? Why did he wait? That man had to suffer so long until Jesus came along and cured him. And one of the things that I thought about was, maybe that man hadn't yet had the ears to hear. And it's interesting how Jesus, after so many parables, says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, maybe that paralytic needed to try the doctors and needed to do the remedies and needed to wait at that pool and try to get in the water, you know, when the water moved. And he needed to do that to see that it was all futile until he finally was ready to listen to what God had to say. And so it doesn't matter where you are in your Christian life. We all need to wait and listen to what God has to say. You're doing some wonderful work for the Lord. How can He use this in a way that it will further His kingdom and help people to reach heaven along with us? We thank you, thank God for you. We thank God for your mission-mindedness, to want to support missionaries in the field sharing the work. And I know that you have the sense that you are on a mission field too. And so I want to encourage you to listen to our God. As we have the custom, we want to open up for anybody who needs prayers, anybody who needs to share anything, anybody who wants to give their life to Jesus. We want to open it up as we stand and sing. This loving family is here and wants to help you in your need. So come as we stand and sing.